It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux, Mary Jo Foley are here. We've got new versions of Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile, maybe. But the most important story, Office 2016 is here. What's new? What's different? And what's the pricing going to be? It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 432, recorded Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015. Baidu Bing! Windows Weekly is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code WINDOWS when you check out. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover Windows Weekly every week. And kind of weekly. No, these guys are strong. They are strong. They're the Yogi Berras.
We have to be, Leo.
The Yogi Berras of Windows. Ms. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. And a good morning to you, Mary Jo. Good afternoon in your venue.
It is.
And Mr. Paul Theroux of Theroux.com. Good afternoon to you, sir. I am Leo Laporte, and I am ready to talk about those guys from Redmond.
Yeah, let's talk about those guys.
Those guys from Redmond. So now, I asked you last week, I said, is Office 2016 out on the Mac? But I guess it wasn't officially out yet.
No, it was. It's just that it was only available through Office 365.
Oh, I get it. So now it's there. You could actually go to a store and buy it and all of that.
Yeah, if you want a standalone, what do they call it?
One-time perpetual license.
Perpetual, yes.
Gee, see, now that sounds like it's a good thing.
I know. I want the perpetual one, not the one that, you know.
You have to pay for every year.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like an ad. Wouldn't you
I think
to
what you're losing with the perpetual one is all of the regular updates,
right?
And obviously, future versions.
Well, you get updates,
right? But not on the same schedule necessarily.
Yeah.
All right. So if I have the previous Office 2013 and I have an Office 365 subscription, it should just automatically update. Yes.
Yeah, but not till sometime in October.
What?
Or later. If you're on certain plans. Yeah.
Right.
But you can
As
go
an
get
individual,
the bits.
You should get it pretty quick.
Right. You can go manually get the bits as of yesterday if you're not on certain plans.
Oh, some people really can't, like, even aren't even allowed to do that.
Yeah. There were some weird things around people who have the Office Pro Plus subscription. They couldn't get the bits yesterday, which we didn't realize because people kept pinging us all day saying, why can't I get the bits? I should be able to get them. It turns out if your administrator marks you as being on the current branch, you know, all those branches just like they have with Windows 10, you can get them. But if you're on the current branch for business, you have to wait for the automatic update. So there are all these different, like, if you're on certain plans, you could get it yesterday. Some people could, some couldn't. Some people were getting them, but then having some issues around OneDrive and...
So I'm on Office 365 Home, and I see they're saying, get the new Office, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so you can get them, right?
Yeah. You can get it.
Yeah.
And you might have to uninstall office.live.com or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yes, it's a new version. It's what you get now when you install. But if you already have it on your computer, it won't update, you know, today. It will update at some time in the next month or whatever.
Okay. Okay. And you can't force it? I can't, like, just say, hey.
Well, you can. No, you can install. You can just use this and install it.
Should I uninstall and deactivate the previous version or just?
So the deactivation doesn't matter that much because you can do it from the web,
right?
At any time.
And you probably don't want to do it. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah, there's no reason not. You know, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Actually, I mean, it's the same computer, so actually it wouldn't change the activation. So you don't have to worry about that. The deal is whether or not you have to uninstall the previous version, which I'm sure it will prompt you. I'm not sure on the Mac how that works.
All right.
This is the one area of life with Microsoft where activation, deactivation is completely painless. Completely painless. There's no problems here. If you install it on your PC or Mac and then go back to the web later, you can deactivate it or not. You can do it however you want. There's no problems. There's no limit per times you can do it. There's no chance that, you know, it will say, sorry, you've already deactivated too many this month or whatever. You don't have to worry about that stuff.
Good. I'm going to go install it right now.
Yeah. So what happened yesterday was Microsoft made the bits available to Windows users. So Mac users actually get them before the Windows users.
Oh, okay.
And like Paul said, so far on the Mac, you were only able to get the bits if you had an Office 365 subscription for the Mac. But now, as of yesterday, if you have an Office 365 subscription for Windows or the Mac, you can get the bits. Okay. So that's what the significance was yesterday.
Should we?
Yes.
You know,
is there a difference?
This is an interesting release on Windows, especially because I'd say on the Mac, everybody's agreeing you should go get the new bits because it's been
different.
A long time.
Yeah. What is it, like 2011 Windows, or something from the last one?
Yeah. On Windows, the last release was 2013 of the Office apps. And what's new about this release is that Microsoft made a lot of tweaks around Teamwork. So if you're somebody who uses Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Visio, all those apps in Teams, I would say you want the 2016 release. And if you don't, not as much of a rush, I'd say.
It's prettier.
It has some nice colors.
But just the functionality, you know, it's pretty hard at this point, I think, to really add anything significant to a word processor,
Office 2016, strictly speaking, is not super different from 2013, especially for individuals. But Office 2016 is only part of a greater, holistic kind of giant Office thing. And there's a lot of other Office things happening around it that are important. You know, Sway is available on Windows 10. Mm-hmm. The mobile apps are available on all of the platforms. If you have Office 365 commercial accounts or subscriptions, there are special tools up in the cloud that don't exist elsewhere, like Delve and Office Graph and the new Planner app, which is a web app, Gig Jam, which is not out yet, but is coming soon. I feel like I'm missing something. Possibly something else.
Planner?
You know, there's other stuff.
Yeah.
Planner, yep.
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 Yeah. So, you know, Paul, I think Paul was the one who said this to me, and it's a very good parallel to make. Office 2016 is like Windows 10. It's not all there yet. There's some things that are still to come, just like with Windows 10 when Microsoft started rolling it out. I wouldn't say it's unfinished, but I would just say what Microsoft is counting on is being able to keep pushing updates to customers with things that they didn't finish in time. So an example is with OneDrive, right? We know that Microsoft's working on a new sync engine for OneDrive, and it's not even in preview as of today, but when it does come into preview and then comes out in final form so that you can sync OneDrive consumer and business together better, that will be pushed to you if you are using Office 2016. You'll get the most up-to-date bits when those are available. See, look at the colors.
Yeah. Well, and in this article, you make a really good point, Paul. It is now on every platform, like everywhere.
Oh, it's everywhere. Yeah.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's and you know, Macintosh versions always were very different than the Windows versions. Are they more? Is there more parity now? Or are they much more similar?
The Mac version is the equivalent of the home and whatever it's called, home and student or whatever that is called, the home and student version. Let's say, in that it has the same basic four or five apps. and is basically functionally very similar. Obviously, on Windows, you can get the additional apps like Access and Publisher, and those are available separately, presumably, and as well as more expensive versions of the suite, and they're available if you get them through Office 365.
And this Tell Me feature.
Yeah.
What's that?
I like Tell Me because I don't use Office a lot.
I can never remember like all the
exactly.
obscure commands.
Like how do I do this again? Yeah. Like I haven't done this in 3 months. How do I do it?
Right.
Yep. That's a good feature.
Microsoft Office is like Perl. The programming language Perl. If you don't use it every day, you just go, you have to start over.
Yeah.
Learn it again.
Oh, I see. Right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yep.
So Tell Me, you do what? You type in how to, like a commit, like I want to know how to create a table.
Mm-hmm.
You can type in a sentence or a word.
Yeah. How smart is it? Is it pretty good about deciphering what you're asking?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I tried a couple of different, like it accepts plain language, you know. The alternative to this, you know, you think about how this evolved. We had toolbars and menus, which some people still pine for some reason. They got really overloaded as Office got more and more commands in every app. And so they came out with the ribbon, which some people still complain about. But the ribbon was designed to organize this stuff in a much better way and provide a more obvious way to do what you're trying to do. So, you know, if you're trying to insert like a table like that thing was, you know, in Word, you might go to the insert menu and kind of hope for the best. You know, maybe there's a
fumfer around. You know, Yeah.
And then in Word, I think it was Word 2010, but if not, it was certainly in 2013, Microsoft actually came out with these help toolbars or ribbons that you could add to the products. And those would help you find out where stuff was, and it would show you where commands were. But Tell Me is now like kind of the next logical step, where it's sort of like Cortana for Office, where you say, but it's just for commands. I want to add a table. How do I do that? You know, and you could literally say, how do I add a table? Or you could just type the word table. Or you could type something like create table or whatever. And in each of those cases, I'm just testing that to make sure I'm right, it comes up with the same exact table commands right there in the Tell Me interface. It doesn't say, okay, now go to this ribbon and find this thing. It just gives you the commands right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. I think that's a nice feature.
That is. If you're somebody who does real-time co-authoring, it's now available in Word natively with this release.
Real-time co-authoring. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, because they already had it in their web apps, right? So now they're starting to bring it to their native apps.
They have it in the iPad
and this
apps
is an
too,
example.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, right.
So can I be on a Windows PC and my co-author be on an iPad and we can collaborate?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's only in Word, but this is an example of what Mary Jo was talking about earlier where stuff is coming down the pike. So they're going to add it to PowerPoint, to Excel, and probably to other apps as well.
That's pretty sweet. I mean, I guess they're doing that because Google Docs does that. So
yeah.
But this will be in Word.
More people want to work in teams. This is their whole push with teamwork. Right. You know, like make it easier for people who are collabing on documents or who want to be in groups. That's why they have the Office 365 Groups feature coming to Outlook. The whole theme of this launch was teamwork and making it better and more productive for people who work in teams. And Paul and I were joking because we both work alone pretty much.
I know.
And I'm like,
we're so very alone.
Yeah.
Well, when we work on our collaborative book together about Microsoft.
We're never doing that. We're not doing that. Stop saying that.
Ah, Microsoft Insider Tales.
Yes.
Working inside Big Green.
But Paul and I, as we've said before, we use OneNote collaboration when we're doing the show notes. So if we were collabing on something together in Word, like a blog post or something, we could use this. I think with Office, though, I think both of you have to be on 2016 to do this.
That would make sense. You'd have to have the current version.
I don't think I could be on 2010 and you're on 2016.
No, that would make sense. No. Yeah.
Right. We all have to be on the same.
Yeah.
Although you said you could do it with iPad, too.
Yeah, you could be on the web. You could be on the iPad. And it would still be fine. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I also like this smart lookup feature that you talk about because I always want to know how old Mark Cuban is.
Yep.
I like your example.
I was just starting to think, like, who's my biggest hero?
I like your example. But this is a way so that students can easily cut and paste from Wikipedia.
By the way, interesting fact, not born in Cuba.
he says he's Cuban. Oh, that's funny. So
this is another feature, by the way, that debuted in the web, and now it's in
well, and makes sense on the web because you're kind of it's like you're saying, hey, make a search out of that. And they call it Insights, but it's really a Wikipedia page, right? So
I think it uses Bing on the back.
It's Bing. It's Bing. Yeah, and Wikipedia will often come up in the front.
Yeah. Yeah, for that kind of fact. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool. By the way, he was born July 31st, 1958, in case you'd like to send him a card.
I meant when I wrote that, I meant birth dates, but then seeing it on the Skype screen, the Cuba thing occurred to me.
But Cuba.
I did mean the date, not the place.
But Cuba. That was not courtesy of Microsoft, that shot. That was courtesy of...
That was from Ask Jeeves.
From the warped mind of Paul Theriot.
Right.
Outlook has improved. And since that's a tool... You know, Outlook's one of those tools where you either use it all the time or you loathe it.
Or you hate it with the burning hatred of a thousand suns.
Yeah. And really, there's no in-between. Right? Like, I use that. Yeah. No.
I don't like Outlook.
I don't think Paul does, do you?
No, I hate Outlook. And I'm reminded of how much I hate it every time someone kind of asks me about it and I rerun it. And then I see exactly that same stupid dialogue that comes up the first time you run it that's been there for 10 years. And I have the same exact experience, which is you type in your custom domain, you type in your password, it thinks for a little while, and it's like, yeah, we can't find these settings. And it just makes me insane how awful Outlook is. It just has not. They've padded it with stuff, but it's just too much stuff.
Tell us how much you like it, Mary Jo.
I actually do like it. I use Outlook. I'm using a really old version. I'm using the 2010 version of Outlook, but I still like it.
It's even more loathsome.
It works really well for me. I like Outlook on the web. I like Outlook on the web, and I like Outlook. I guess, you know,
what Outlook on the web, though? You mean Outlook.com or Outlook?
No, I mean Outlook, the web client version.
Outlook is the Donald Trump of email clients.
Jeez. Well, actually, on the web, it's good. I do like the web interface, and Outlook.com has got a nice interface.
That's not what people mean when they say
I know, but it's getting confusing because, you know, the Outlook mobile app, for example, that was Acompli, is a very nice app.
It's nothing like Outlook. Yeah.
They don't really call it this on the PC version of Windows 10 for some reason, but Outlook Mail in Windows 10 is turning into a nice little email app.
It's the simpler versions of Outlook that we like. It's the overblown program that does too much in one giant hairball fire.
Well, you're going to like the 2016 version because it's even more overblown.
Poor Mary Jo.
Mary Jo looks cross.
She's not happy.
Hold on, I'm responding to this Paul diatribe.
But Mary Jo, you don't use it in a corporate environment. You use it as a standalone client for yourself.
Yeah.
Do you use it for contacts? And
yep, I do.
You do, not just email.
I use Fold. I make a lot of folders. I don't know. I was thinking back. Maybe it's because I came from a Lotus Notes.
Oh, anything's better than.
Great.
Ooh, me too. Yeah. I use Outlook for a long time.
Outlook hasn't been good since they called it Schedule Plus.
Come on. I didn't know you were a joke for the old timers.
If you're suffering from PTSD from Lotus Notes use, you'll love Outlook. It's a step into the real world, bit by bit. I understand. No, really, it's true. I understand the people live in Outlook. And, you know, I look at Lisa, who used to use Outlook. But my wife. But
she's doing better now.
She's gotten better now. I keep trying to get her to use the very thin client for Gmail that Google offers called Inbox. And like you, Mary Jo, she has spent so much time customizing and creating folders. She has an incredibly elaborate folder structure. And and this is the key, a workflow that is built into that. That she doesn't want to. It's like, no, I'm not going to touch that because it's working. And I bet you you're the same.
I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn something new. It's like,
the tagline I'm hearing is Outlook, the email application for people who can't change.
No.
Wow.
But if you're invested in it, it's not so bad. It's not so bad that if you're invested in it and you've built your workflow around it, you're going to say, I'll change. No, you don't want to. I don't blame you. The key, you gave it away when you said, I've got folders. That's just like Lisa. I've got folders, and that's you don't want to stop.
Gmail itself would be difficult for someone who liked folders. Even just going to Gmail would require some work.
I can't use Gmail.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
No. Right. When I see that, I'm just like, whoa.
To the cloud, Mary Jo. To the cloud.
To the cloud. Yeah, I on the other hand, and maybe I think Paul and I are more alike because we're enthusiasts, which is a code name for somebody who is a damaged personality.
Just doesn't care anymore.
who just wants change for change's sake.
Yeah,
but I've
is
gone
this the
through,
same. I don't want this.
Yeah, I want something new because I've gone through Eudora and every one of them I've customized. I've written 20-line mail. No, I'm sorry, 100-line mail filter scripts, all sorts of stuff. I've done a lot of that investment in workflow, but I don't care. If there's a new app, I'm going to try it.
The one thing I'd say, I can use Outlook.com. I could use the Outlook, whatever they're calling the web thing on Office 365, whatever that terrible name is now. Gmail's fine. I really like the web clients for PCs. You know, I think those things work well. I like just keeping that stuff up there where in the cloud where it belongs, you know, not pulling stuff down to the PC in any way. I think it's for me, that just kind of works. I don't care which one.
Part of the problem really is that email is broken by default. I mean, it's just broken. The whole system's broken. It's crap. We have to use it, especially if you're a freelancer and you have to communicate with the home office. It's like you can't say, no, I'm not going to use email anymore.
No.
Please use WhatsApp. They're going to go, yeah, right. It's kind of a broken system. And I have yet to find the perfect email client. I've gone through them all. And it's just they're all of them somewhat flawed. So I figure, you know, I don't see anything wrong with using Outlook. It's not any worse than anything else. Hmm. They all kind of fail me in one way or another.
I'd rather have stomach surgery than use Outlook. But I see what you're saying.
I'll have to trust what somebody's saying. See, and this is I'm doing it already. Oh, yeah. Trolternet says the best email client on any platform is Aquamail on Android. Oh, I'll have to try that.
I was positive people was going to say like Mailbird or something.
Let me just download because it's another one.
I did the same thing.
I live in hope.
Just in complaining about Outlook, you'll hear like you did recommendations from people. And of course, I install every one of these stupid things. And I don't know. To me, it's like I just use the web. One of the things I do feel strongly about with email is that regardless of how you choose to do it, if you're going to use an application like Outlook or some web mail solution, consolidate everything in one place, no matter what it is. Checking multiple accounts in multiple locations is a recipe for disaster. It's much better to have pipe everything through a single account. Now, obviously work, home, you can't necessarily do that kind of thing. But for me, like a big part of the insanity removal was just having everything go through my primary account.
We're not talking about the failure of Outlook. We're talking about the failure of email as a platform in general.
Yeah. But I mean, Outlook itself, it's a little simplistic to even call Outlook email because
it's so
Outlook
much more.
Is obviously contacts management and schedule management. But in 2016, it's also a lot more, right? They have office groups are built in now. Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff, you know, that's piping through Outlook. And you know, from my perspective, in some ways, that's a little bit of a problem. But for people who live in Outlook, this is obviously fantastic because that's how they interact with the world. They're in Outlook, like you said, all day long.
Yeah,
It's always
plus
it's
has
funny
a pretty
for me
blue color
to
now.
See, you know, especially people who I've noticed who work in the Valley or are in the Valley. They often say, "Oh, email's dead, and no one uses email." Well, everywhere else, and especially in the business world, everyone uses email, and many of those. I would say the vast majority are Outlook users, right? So,
yeah,
it's just your perspective.
Yeah, and it's all you know. It's because I also hear all of the groupware things, and you know, collaborating and stuff. And I don't collaborate with
client server computing is the future, Leo.
I am a lone.
You don't collaborate either.
Out on a rock in the middle of the ocean.
Yep.
And so all of those features, and Outlook, that's one of the things Outlook does well. All those features are just don't, it's not even that it's like I don't even get it. It's like, I don't know. It's just like,
right.
I don't.
Yeah. Right. No, I see a box and it's filled up with shapes and graphics and stuff, and you call it Outlook, and I hear you. I'm just saying, I don't really,
You know, just for a hoot, I installed Elm. On my Macintosh. This is a command line Unix program. It was an improved version of Pine.
Oh, man.
And I see the appeal of it because it's dirt simple. And and it's just it's designed to do one thing.
What's missing from computers today, though, Leo, is, and I'm not joking, I mean, the ability to have a full screen command line UI that looks and works like DOS kind of did, you know? Like, I think those kinds of UIs, I actually kind of miss, like, the Borland or Microsoft developer environments that were ran in text mode, you know?
Those are power tools.
They kind
tools.
Of a nice simplicity to them.
Yeah. Well, now that Paul and I have really alienated everybody in the listening audience.
Sure.
Including your own co-host, Mary Jo Foley.
People, somewhere someone's going, Siri, how do I unsubscribe from this stupid
Unsubscribe, unsubscribe. Lisa and I had a little Siri versus Google moment. Actually, I should try Cortana with this one. We went. We were driving in the parking lot, and there was a Corvette that said 50, had a 50 badge on it. I thought, it can't be the 50th anniversary Corvette, could it? Is Corvette that old? She said, oh, yeah, it's older than that. I said, huh, I wonder when they started making Corvettes. So she said, let me ask Siri. And I thought in my head,
this is going to be good.
I thought,
I think it's raining.
You have a continuing faith in Siri, which I feel is not justified. And this is the iOS 9 version. Nothing. Sure. So let me try it with Google. I'll do it right now. Okay. Wait, let me open the screen. Okay, Google. When was the Corvette released?
Wikipedia, the first Corvette, Harley Earl's 1953 X122.
Yeah. It not only gave me the year, it gives me more information. It's like,
could you please stop talking?
It is actually almost at the Waldorf Astoria. Almost really like kind of over answering
this. Is exactly what the experience is like using maps. I get it. Stay in the lane. I'm doing it. Why do you keep telling me that?
But at least I got the year. 1953, and Siri. I mean, Siri was like, Now, could you try that with Cortana? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm curious
if Cortana would answer that.
Hey, Cortana, when was the Corvette released? Nope.
Nothing.
Now playing Carmen. Okay. Let's try that again. Dun, 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 dun. When was the Corvette released? Okay. So it did come up with the... Well, you can see it.
It said 1950.
And and by the way, in the background, it's playing Carmen. It really is. There you go.
Oh, that's not the Carmen I was thinking of. But I was thinking Bizet's Carmen.
Oh, Windows Phone, I love you so much. You like that little...
No, but that's You know what? That's a hard thing to do, and this is really an... I'm moving to the iPhone, day after tomorrow.
Sure.
And I'm just going to
Friday at 8 a.m. your time.
Friday
at
8 a.m. Yep. I'm going to miss
you, Weird
that
I knew
Google.
That.
And everybody's going to say, oh, no, Leo, you could still do it. Yeah, after you press 3 buttons 4 times. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not as good.
It's not as good. The ability to just... And that's the other thing. I want to be able to just talk to the phone and get a quick fact. And there's a lot to be said for that. That's, by the way, that thing that the Mark Cuban thing we were talking about. That's nice. Yeah. They call that smart lookup.
I wonder if I could try to Windows 10. Would this work if I did this from Windows 10?
On Cortana?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hijack the show with that.
No, it's interesting. Windows Phone worked. It just came up with a listing.
Well, that's fine.
Page to read.
That would be fine.
It didn't talk it back. But.
Yeah.
That would be fine. I mean, this is the new improved Siri. That's the thing that a little bit disappointed me.
Yeah. Well, I think we might have talked about this. They're a little hampered by the fact that
They have privacy.
They refuse to violate your privacy.
It's called privacy.
Yeah. We don't know that you were talking about the Corvette.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. See now.
Who
I'll
are you?
See,
I don't think we've even
now. You're right, because now I'm going to see ads for Corvettes everywhere I go on the internet.
Yes, you are. And actually, now that you have Google Pay or Android Pay, whatever they call it, you might buy one by mistake.
Yeah. No, to the Whoops. Now. All right. To be fair, I tried to use Android Pay just
next
now at the grocery store. My phone beeped like 8 times, and the clerk said nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I just gave him a 20.
That's awesome.
So you that was.
I haven't used that yet. I finally got Android Pay on my phone. I'm gonna have to try buying something. I'll go buy a Big Mac or something at like a McDonald's.
The thing that is frustrating, even, and this is true with Apple Pay, is, and it's not either company's fault, is that the merchants or the credit cards or somebody often still requires the same rigmarole. I've used Android Pay a couple of times. In both cases, I've had to sign a piece of paper.
Nice.
It's like, well, I could have used it. If that's what you, I mean, there's no advantage.
If I wanted to write a check.
Yeah, there's no advantage. Yeah. Oh, now that you use Android Pay, would you write us a check? I mean, there's no advantage if I have to still go through all the rigmarole that a credit card requires. It's not really doing me any favors. All right. I'm sorry. I'm in a bad derailing mood today. You have to be okay. Careful of me.
I'm along for the ride, Leo. You go down some side road, and I'm just hanging on for dear life.
What else should we talk about with Office here? I see other...
We should talk about how much it costs if you want to buy it without a subscription.
Oh, I remember being in New York City, going to Staples. It was probably, I didn't know at the time, across the street from Rattle and Hum. I could have probably met Mary Jo Foley. This was a few years ago, and I went in because the new Office had come out, and I wanted to buy it. And I saw the sticker, and it was like $700. And I went,
I mean, it's good, but
I don't need it that bad.
Yeah.
So, what does it cost?
So, it's the same price for a single copy for Windows PCs or Macs. It's $149 for the Office Home and Student, $229 for the Home and Business version, and $400 for Office Professional. Still not cheap.
Is that about what it was last time or not?
I think they said it was $10 more per...
Yeah, roughly the same. Pretty close. Yeah.
That's not bad.
But that means
one
if you buy
it's one
it that
PC,
way...
Right?
Why
it's
would
one,
you not want to do a subscription? Because at least the home subscription, I get 5 computers.
Yeah.
For, is it, $8 a month I'm paying or something?
Right. So some people only need it on one computer.
Right.
So you would still say, why don't you get the personal, Office 365... personal subscription. But some people just say, I still don't want to subscribe to something. I don't want to feel like I'm renting it, even though you really are renting it. Even if you buy it, you still kind of are renting it. And they just want to pay one time and say, that's it, I'm done.
Ooh, I'll tell you one thing I'm happy about. Now, maybe this is because I'd already... No, I don't think I installed it on this. I didn't have to do the rigmarole about logging in the first time. I used one of the apps. It knew who I was.
If you sign in with a Microsoft account, it will automatically grab that. Yeah.
That's not what it used to be, right? That's
right.
That's a big improvement. Mm-hmm. And by the way, can I give you a gripe? And I don't know if this is true on Windows, but on the Mac, because I have 2-factor turned on for Microsoft, I can't...
You got to do an app password.
I have to do a special app password.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which means I have to go to the Microsoft site, log in... Go to a page that's a completely obscure, buried in the middle of nowhere page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. It is hard to find.
And create an app-specific password.
Yep.
I'm surprised, to be honest. It seems like Office should have been able to do that.
Yeah, I am surprised by that, too.
It fools me every time because it doesn't say that. So I'll enter my
your
password.
Wrong. You're like, I know, I thought I typed it right. Let me try it again.
So 20 times later, I'm finally saying, I guess maybe. And then it hits me, oh, yeah, I remember. I need an app-specific password. This is not happening here.
The Mac version.
I just launched Windows.
That they,
beautiful.
I hope they fix that over time. I'm not. Yeah.
First things first. This product also comes with Office automatic updates. By clicking accept, you agree to the Office license agreement. So am I agreeing? It's not clear, but I presume I'm agreeing to automatic updates. Yes.
It's just bank records, random personal information.
I suppose
Gmail
I should have.
Man.
I should have read it.
The usual, the Microsoft boilerplate, as we call it.
I should have read it, but didn't.
Like,
like most people, I just said, yeah.
One thing they're not clear about is the future. I'd asked them about, what if it's time for Office 2019 or whatever? Are you guys going to make one of those? And how do you do that? And they basically said that they're open to that, but... they sort of expect now that if this isn't the last version, the next one certainly will. And, maybe they'll have to roll everything together and package it like they did this time. But they really don't see themselves doing that anymore. And so there's a possibility that this could be the last retail version you could buy like this, too. So we'll
one
see.
Thing
we'll see
people are saying, and let's correct this, is, well, the problem with a subscription is if you don't renew the subscription, you can no longer open your documents. Not true.
No. No, that's not true.
Not
true
exactly.
At all. What if I have a subscription, create documents, don't renew the subscription, what do I lose?
Well, first of all, you can always open them on the web.
Right.
Right.
And edit them
and
on the web.
Save them and whatever. Yeah. You can do that in, and then for the apps, mobile apps and desktop apps, right, you can open them and view them for free.
I know that because when I download a version and don't log in, I can still open all my docs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually surprisingly liberal. I mean, you can kind of probably hoke around without logging in for a long time if you don't mind the red bar at the top.
You can't edit them though, right?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Can't edit them.
You can edit them online. You can't edit them in the app.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you even edit them online? You can.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, because you can create, edit, save, print online without
using
any,
online for the free. Online version of like Word, Excel. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I don't think people shouldn't be afraid of the subscription, in my opinion.
Yeah. I didn't think that many people were still afraid of it, but I wrote a post this week about how much does Office 2016 cost without a subscription, and people went wild for it. And
sure.
A lot of people seem to be interested in buying it this way.
Isn't that interesting?
I know.
Well, I mean, so let's see. I mean, like Leo said, well, actually, it's even less than that. So if you buy Office 365 Personal, it's $70, right? I think 70 a year, $69.99.
A year.
That is the equivalent of 2 years of use of versus buying it, you know, except for a bunch of stuff.
So it'll take 2 years before you're ahead of the game.
But not really. It's actually a lot less time than that because the version that you get with a subscription, the version of Office, is a much nicer version of Office than the one you get with Home and Student or whatever it's called because it includes additional Office applications. Mm-hmm. You also get today 1 terabyte, in the future unlimited OneDrive storage with the subscription. You don't get that with the standalone
package.
That's
a really nice feature. Yeah.
60 minutes of landline and phone calling from Skype every month. You don't get that with the standalone package.
Right.
They're really sweetening the pot because they want you to subscribe.
Yeah, they do.
And you get mobile device access as well with full editing. You can do that on an iPad, whatever. You don't get that with the standalone version. Mm. So it really isn't 2 years. It you know, depending on how you do the math, it makes almost zero sense to buy the thing outright. Mm-hmm. But it also depends on how you're going to use it. If you're literally just going to use Office on a PC, okay, we could make the argument it's 2 years. And so I suppose if you planned on using Office 2016 for 3 years or 5 years or whatever, you could make the financial argument, I guess. Yeah.
Which is the way people who would buy this would use it,
businesses.
Right? Like and even consumers, they always say Office's biggest competitor is Office, right? Like I'm still running 2010,
right? Why upgrade? You don't need to upgrade.
I don't.
There really isn't. I mean, come on.
It's like a little dagger in my heart every time you say that.
But let's be honest. You could be using a very old version of Microsoft Word. Much older than that.
No, sure.
You know, the big thing is document format changes and cloud.
Yeah.
So the document format change stuff hasn't happened in a while. We've been on DocX for several versions now. The cloud, I think the cloud's a big deal. But I think to what Mary Jo was saying, a lot of those people who would gravitate toward the standalone package, they're also the type of people who say, I'm not putting anything in the cloud. Like, you know, they're still, you know,
well, and you
their
still
unit
could.
Of computing is this computer. Like, it has a hard drive in it, and everything I own goes on that hard drive. And that's where it goes.
And
it
you
go
could
to the
still
cloud,
buy a Dropbox account and store your documents in the cloud.
Oh, no, I'm not defending these people. I think this is an
but I'm just saying, it's
position.
Not a the cloud isn't even a compelling reason to. Somebody in the chat room is saying, and I think this is true, really, there's no really strong reason to upgrade after Office 2007.
Well, except for one thing. I think the thing that they've done with Office 365 that's really important is they've made it a little bit of a no-brainer for all of those extra reasons I'm talking about.
Right.
So with a home subscription, 5 installs, 5 people, the extra unlimited, soon to be unlimited, OneDrive storage for up to 5 people, the Skype stuff for up to 5 people, all of the things that go across all of that subscription for $99 a year is an incredible, incredible bargain. And so, yes, if you are one person and you live in the Unabomber shed in the woods or whatever, and you don't want to connect to the cloud and you don't care about
upgrades. Well, you're using LibreOffice. You're not using Microsoft.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, if for some reason work is forcing you to you know, use Microsoft Office or something, whatever it is, I just think that that crowd is getting smaller and smaller because they've heaped on so many reasons to go with the subscription. It just becomes kind of a no-brainer. For most people. I know not for everyone, but I think for most people it does.
Yeah. I mean, unlimited cloud storage for $70 a year, even if
you've got nothing else,
is a compelling deal.
When you say, I don't need to upgrade, or like, I don't get anything from upgrading, that could be true. I mean, for Mary Jo or for any other individual, for what they use Office for, it's possible that as you go from Office 2010 to 2013 to 2016, you don't see a big change or any change. But that's not the point. I mean, it's not just about functional updates. They're keeping it up to date. They're keeping up to date with security as well. And so it's a big holistic thing. Yeah. You know, it's not just, I only use Word and I don't care if it's, you know, 2010. Weird. It's fine, but there's a lot more going on.
I don't know Go ahead, Mary Jo.
I just don't, I don't use Office very much.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm more like you. I have no reason to use Office at all.
I mean, I use, I literally use Word. I use Word maybe 10 times a year. I use Excel maybe twice a year.
Right. And if I need a spreadsheet, I fire up Google Sheets. It's almost always enough.
The other thing is Microsoft's made the online versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote so good that when I do need to create a PowerPoint, I use PowerPoint Online.
By the way, they did that because they had to because of pressure from Google. And Zoho Office and a few others.
And by the way, Mary Jo was right. She said earlier that, you know, the biggest competition to Office is Office. There's absolutely no doubt that that's the fact. But the second biggest competition to Office is what you just said, which is that this other stuff is good enough for a lot of people, you know. Even people who write books or people who do very complex things in these applications only use a tiny percentage of their features. And, you know, if you're going to you want to throw some columns together and add some numbers and make a chart, any number of free online or mobile solutions would probably work fine for most people. And the issue there is not that, you know, LibreOffice and OpenOffice and all that stuff never really took off, but it's this generation of kids coming to school, I keep talking about, who they get Chromebooks, they get iPads from their, you know, from the educators. And that's what they grow up getting used to. And that's down the road going to be the biggest problem for Office, that people are not getting introduced to it at an early age as this is what you got to use, you know. So we'll see how that goes down the road. But
and you, somebody's saying, what about OneNote? You use OneNote every week because that's how we keep our show notes.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Jo uses OneNote online.
Does that, okay, so it doesn't count as Office really either, right?
It doesn't count.
And, well, and you can get OneNote just as a standalone app for free.
Right.
Yeah, OneNote's free.
Buying Office.
So it's not. Yeah, that's what I mean. I guess it's technically part of the Office suite, but it's you don't have to buy Office to use it.
Yeah.
You get it with one. Yeah, you get it with Office. But
Last time when I wrote books, I used the publisher wanted it in Word format.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean I could have written it something else and then sent it to him in Word. But this was also back in the day when you FTP'd it.
Yeah, but even when you even if you were going to do that stuff, by the way, they still do it that way, Leo. absolutely. Even if you did it that way, you'd want to look at it in Word to make sure it was right, right? I mean,
yeah. No, I always
just
put it
do
in Word.
Some conversion and hope for the best.
Yeah, I worked in Word. I worked in Word because that's what they wanted. Yeah. They still want it in Word.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, the thing we're using to publish the Windows 10 field guide book, leanpub.com, does not work natively with Word. It only works with Markdown. And their conversion has completely borked the book from Word format. And so we've actually had to switch it into Markdown first ourselves manually and really hand edit it, you know.
Yikes.
And that's a very interesting thing because this is kind of, this is the future, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it is astonishing to me that there's an ebook publishing system that doesn't work natively with Word, but this is it. It says they do, they don't.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
Markdown,
you know,
doesn't do all the things you want it to do, though, does it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, ultimately, the format of a book is actually very simple, right? You've got headings of different sizes, you've got text, and you've got graphics. And there really isn't much else going on. So, yes, you could, I mean, you could, you know, it's a web page. It's not really that difficult, structurally. Writing it is horrific. But, I mean, as far as the structure of the book, not bad.
Anything else to say about the new Office? The new Office is here. The new Office is here.
Maybe just the Skype thing. What there was a big
Skype.
By the
way, what happened? Yeah, okay.
Oh, man.
I'm echoing your note. What the heck happened with Skype? We actually on Monday had to use Google Hangouts for our interview.
Did you?
Couldn't get on.
Skype went down for 15 hours.
It immediately got me looking for an alternative. I hate to say it.
Yeah. So this was Skype Consumer, not Skype for Business, that went down.
Because Skype for Business is Link.
Right.
It's not
it's
Skype.
On a whole different network.
People are circles.
Yeah, and today Microsoft put out, or actually late last night, they put out a blog post, and they said what caused this was the release of a, quote, larger than usual configuration change that they made. And then users were being disconnected from Skype, and when they tried to reconnect, then they couldn't get back in. And so it was kind of like a vicious circle. The bad part to me about this was they didn't give us regular updates throughout the outage about what was happening. There's a thing called Skype Heartbeat, which is their status site for Skype. And if you went on there, it said, hey, we know there's a problem with Skype and we're working on a fix. And that was it. And no updates during the day. Like, there were a few updates through Twitter that they did through the Skype account. But I feel like now when other Microsoft services go down, like Office 365 and Azure, they tend to give us more updates. You know, like, all right, we just pushed the fix to this, and we think in 10 more minutes you're going to start seeing people come back. But we didn't really have that. So we were all just kind of like, hey, is it working? I don't know. Can I talk to you on IM? Yes. Can I call you? No.
Yeah, so that's why went down is kind of not right, and maybe why it didn't show up in the dashboard, because really what it was is some sort of error that made you not show up in the directory.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, for me, the little thing was circling as if it were trying to log in the whole time.
Right.
But in kind of a weird coincidence, at one moment I noticed it said someone had logged in, not Mary Jo, someone else.
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I thought, that's interesting. I wonder if that means it's coming back. And right at that moment, Mary Jo pinged me and asked me if I could see the message she was sending, which I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, messaging worked the whole time, right?
Yeah. But we didn't, we all appeared to be offline, so we didn't think to
it's
write
very
each
weird.
Other, you know?
Yeah.
So Mary Jo lost out on some crucial information yesterday about what I was eating for lunch.
Oh.
And it was a tough day for everybody.
It was tough. Very tough. Yeah, so that was what happened. And, they kept making the point that it didn't take down Skype for Business, but it did take down Skype for Skype
everybody
consumer
else.
Almost everybody in the world. I mean,
it's like, Volkswagen crowing that its gas-powered cars are just
fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to see here. Look at these cars. Yeah. They're fine.
We, this whole network's built on Skype. And we continue to use it because it works great.
Yeah.
I had some trepidations when Microsoft said, we're going to close down the super nodes, and we're just going to serve it all from Microsoft because now that's a central point, a single point of failure. Yep. And this is the outcome. Not that Skype didn't go down all the time in the old days.
Yeah.
But
I was trying to think when the last major Skype outage like this was, and I
can't
really think of it.
No, and we've been using this for 10 years.
And that's what I was just going to say. Leo would know better than anybody.
Yeah.
It's actually been, for all of the issues I have with Skype, I have to say, the network's been up for forever.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's been up.
But it's been a significant change after the Microsoft acquisition. They went from a peer-to-peer network. Skype was written originally by the guys who created Kazaa, which is peer-to-peer music sharing.
Right.
Yeah. And it was based on robust peer-to-peer structure that was really
using
quite
Delphi
clever.
Technology.
Was it? Is Delphi?
Yeah, I think the original Skype client for Windows was written in Delphi.
I love that.
I believe so.
I'm sure the underlying stuff was something a little more robust, but nevertheless,
what that magic thing? What do you mean? Something more robust.
No, actually, I don't know what it was written in, but I keep waiting for Microsoft to do things like force ads in the Skype video windows and stuff like that, but they haven't messed it up too badly. This is the first hiccup at all.
Yep.
So I'm not too unhappy with it.
No.
Nevertheless, we would like to have a backup, a plan B. Mm-hmm. And while Google Hangouts is okay, it's not as good as nothing looks. I mean, look how good you guys look. Nothing looks as good as Skype.
Yeah. Google Hangouts is weird because it's different, but
it's not using as good a codec. It's using an open source codec.
Yeah.
And Skype uses a proprietary codec, unfortunately, but it's the best one out there.
Yeah. So. The timing was rough for Microsoft on this because Skype went down. The next day they're doing this huge Office launch, and Skype for Business is a huge part of that launch. I think that's why they kept saying, it's not Skype for Business. No. Skype for Business is tightly integrated through all the new Office apps. So
Gardner in our chat room says that the Microsoft Twitter account was kind of joking about it all day. Is that the case?
No, were they?
No, were they facetious?
I didn't see any jokes. I don't know. That would be bad if
that would not be a case. But it isn't exactly a... Is it a money-making product from it? Should be. Should be. I mean, I pay money for Skype for the phone calling features.
Yeah.
they have the calling thing where you can subscribe, you can pay minutes
Skype
for minutes.
Out and Skype in yeah. and all of that.
Yeah. But right now they've been kind of toying with different business models, I think, and thinking, you know, how could we start making money off of Skype ads? Obviously, is one way.
Go back in the Skype account.
They weren't joking, were they?
Skype update outage and update and apology.
But
the one yesterday. Right before that.
Well, that's because Office was released. I don't think that was meant to, right. you know, mock the people who couldn't use Skype.
We are pleased to share Skype services have been fully restored. We're pleased to say we have found and are rectifying the Skype problem. We are working to fixing an issue which is preventing some users from logging in. So they did. They responded, but I don't see any facetiousness. But I also see that they were saying it's being fixed for hours.
Yep.
It didn't show up in Heartbeat, even though they're pointing people.
No,
to Heartbeat.
They had one message in Heartbeat that said, "Hey, we're down, and we know it, and we're working on a fix."
I wonder if it's understaffed.
I doubt it. No.
It's an important mission, right?
It is. Skype is a very big cloud service for Microsoft. I would think there was a lot of attention on that.
Plus, it's one of their few really well-known, positive, associated consumer brands.
It's a huge brand.
Yep.
Do they still have the deal with Facebook? Is Facebook video calling through Skype still, or did they?
I think that's over,
they made a
right?
big deal about that.
I know. I think they ended that deal.
Oh, I bet it's over.
When Facebook wanted to do their own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Those type of things probably go out with a whimper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Windows 10. Let's take a break. I apologize. When I think things slow down, I don't know. Just the whole...
Is there some reason for that?
The whole process just grinds to a halt when I actually start thinking, which explains a lot, really, about how broadcasting works. Let's take a break. When we come back, more with Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We'll talk about Windows 10, both for the desktop and for mobile. There's news in both categories. But first, let's talk about my shave this morning. I wish you could come right over here and just fondle my cheeks for a moment.
So do we all.
they are smooth, they are soft, and they are unnicked, unscarred, because I use Harry's. You should use Harry's too. Harry's actually went out and bought the factory. That's how committed they were to making a better blade. And because you buy direct from the Harry's factory, you get a better price. And they can engineer their blades for sharpness and for performance. You know what's interesting? I'm starting to see a lot of ads, even by the Gillette and the big guys, talking about how you can use the same blade for a month. And you understand why they say those things. It's not that you can. Of course you can. Wouldn't recommend it. The point is these blades are so horribly expensive that the only way they can justify an $8 razor blade is saying, well, but it'll last all month. It won't. And because Harry's blades are so affordable, you'll do the right thing, which is change them every week and get a great shave. I think that's a big part of it. You can afford to. I want you to start with the Harry's kit. This is the Winston kit with a metal handle. It's beautiful. You can get it engraved with your initials if you wish. But they also have the Truman kit. Some people prefer that. It's got the colorful plastic handle. With both kits, you get the handle. You get three blades. You get the cover, which is the travel cover, which I actually think is a really big deal. I love this. You could put it in your shaving kit without cutting yourself when you pull it out. And you get your choice of the Harry Shave Cream, which I use. A lot of guys prefer the foaming shave gel. Your choice. The Truman kit is $15 for all of that. In fact, I'm going to tell you how you can get it for even less in just a second. And you're going to get a wonderful product that gives you a great shave. Every morning, you won't hesitate to change the blade. You get the blades if you want. You can get them delivered automatically by subscription. I get mine every month. I get new blades. Four of them, right? Four blades once a week. And I get more shaving cream, more of that wonderful Harry's cream. That's a lot of it. It's just luxurious. It's a great shave experience because Harry's believes in quality craftsmanship, in elegant, simple design, in modern convenience. It comes to you by mail, postage paid. You're going to love it. Go to harrys.com to get a great shave for about half as much as the razors in the store. And right now, you get an additional $5 off. That makes that Truman kit $10 to get started. This would be a great gift, too. And you don't have to tell them you only pay $10. Go to Harry's, HARRYS.com. Use the offer code WINDOWS at checkout. That lets them know that you heard about it on this show. We want you to do that so you know, they understand how powerful Paul and Mary Jo are. And you'll get $5 off. Kind of a thank you for going to Harry's. Harry's.com. Use the offer code WINDOWS for $5 off your first order. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and we are talking windows. And now we move on. I asked you when we started if there was an update to the current version of Windows. My God, we went a whole week without a fast ring update. Whew. That's good news for me anyway. I'm glad. So what is new? There is a I'm confused. So there's people like you and me, Paul, who are in the Insiders program, and we're getting updates a lot.
Yep.
Is this an update for people who are not Insiders?
No, this is an update for the Insiders. So okay. Fast Ring Insiders update.
Has there been an update for non-Insiders yet? Like
actually,
a big one?
No.
That's
not like
we're
no,
just
not
getting
like
cumulative updates.
Just a little bit
periodically.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, there app updates, obviously.
We don't really know what's in.
Is it more often than the Patch Tuesday?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
the
one
thing that's a little strange, by the way,
is being an insider because I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So there has not been a slow ring update since our time, right? So each of the, I think four builds, and each of them has been for the fast ring. So there's never been another, before Windows 10 shipped, they would move previous builds to the slow ring. And when they did that, they would release an ISO and you could do a clean install with it. But since RTM, they've only provided fast ring updates. They've never upgraded a fast ring build to slow ring. They just don't seem to be doing that anymore. And we don't see ISOs. And so you have to install them through Windows Update. And the weird part about this, I think, and Mary Jo could probably confirm this, because you, Mary Jo, and you have the RTM version of Windows 10, but you still don't have the new Mail app.
What?
I do.
Is that right?
Oh, you do?
Oh, you do. So that stuff is happening over time then somehow.
Yeah. The problem is this. We periodically get some of the new apps or at least updates to our apps that you guys are getting in the fast ring, but we don't know what we're getting. We just see one day, hey, there's an update to your mail app. And then if it works and doesn't break anything, you find out, oh, it's got the same functionality that just went a couple weeks ago or days ago even to the people in the fast ring. Like when you guys got the ability to disable conversation view in the fast ring, about 3 or 4 days later, we got it in the RTM.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you know, like this last build, there were major updates to mail and calendar, for example. So this is a unified inbox. So do you have that
have
now
that.
In the RTM?
Oh, you don't have
that.
Don't
so
have
maybe
that.
In the next couple of days you'll get it.
Yeah. I asked them how long till we got that, and they said they can't or won't say, or can't and won't say.
Yeah, God forbid anyone
they just
know that
talk
deeply
about that.
Secret information.
Right.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, cause, so we don't have the unified inbox or any of that other stuff you guys got on Friday in the mail app. Mm-hmm. We don't have that on RTM yet.
I mean, those things, they're kind of coming along. I could actually see using these apps.
Yep. So, yeah, what was in the Friday build besides the
this
new
is
apps?
10.5.4.7.
Yeah, 10.5.4.7. What was new? So the start menu has been updated so that if you want to, you can have four columns of medium-sized tiles. The previous limit was three. Snapping apps is easier in tablet mode. Improved the text input panel. It's kind of, last week on this show, I complained about how just their general inability to update the mobile version of Windows 10 is just kind of embarrassing, and it's terrible. And my reaction to Windows 10 for PCs is completely opposite. Over the weekend, I wrote something about that where I look at the pace at which they're delivering updates for Windows 10. And even though it's a little confusing about how it works exactly, some stuff goes, you know, to the fast ring Some features that are in apps obviously show up in app updates that go to RTM. It's not entirely clear how they're doing this, but if you, I mean, it's been, what, 2 months since Windows 10 shipped? 2 months, right? Yeah, 2 months. Mm-hmm. And honestly, they've answered a lot of problems that people have had with, you know, like functional changes. You know, at some point, they're going to wrap these things up and deliver them to everyone, right? However they do that. Yep. But it's, you know, I think the pace that they're keeping, and maybe it's not sustainable, although I would point to something like Xbox One and say maybe it is sustainable, is actually pretty impressive, you know? And this is really that vision they have of Windows 10 as kind of this evergreen system where it just keeps getting updated in meaningful ways. And I think that we've seen that over these 3 or 4 builds, whatever they put out. It's nice.
Yeah, the one thing I would say, and we've talked about this a few times on the show, is the place where I feel like the Windows as a service model is not working is when you are on RTM and you're getting these updates pushed to you and you don't know what's in them.
Or even like that
you
they
really
came.
Have no idea.
You know, which right. is one of the other weird side effects of automatic updates. You don't even, you could sign into your computer in the morning and an app has changed and there's no, hey, by the way, we added these features. You know, you might have been someone using the mail app who really wanted to turn off conversation view or really wanted LinkedIn boxes.
Like me, conversation view, right?
And right. And but how would you even know that that had changed?
No, I didn't know until I saw some people on Twitter saying, hey, that update that we just got from mail on the RTM build has disabled conversation
actually
view.
Yeah, and someone notices a little switch in settings somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like you don't actually look at every single setting switch every time there's an update?
I don't, surprisingly.
That's weird, Mary Jo.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's the one place this model is breaking down. And, you know, Microsoft's made the case that normal people won't care and they don't even know where to look
I disagree with that a lot.
I don't know. You know, I guess for me, I understand that thinking, but I also feel like, hey, if you're bringing a really cool new feature like Disable Conversation View to something, normal people will want to know about it, but there's no way for them to know.
I think there could be a very chatty version of the OS that, you know, you could disable if you didn't want. That little balloon would come up and say, hey, we just added the ability to add another column to the start menu you're now looking at. Click here to, you know, turn it on. I mobile apps do this kind of thing. Hey, we just updated. Here's what's new. You know, when it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that for every single app update. I mean, updates can be stupid. There's so many of them. But, you know, when there's major functional, the photo app was updated in a very major way. Yeah. And when that happened, it went from completely unusable and pointless to, oh, there you go. That's exactly what I've been waiting for. Yep. You know, and I think that's something people would want to know about.
There are the other thing that kind of, I don't know how many normal users this impacts, but there are things that you see updating in the App Store and you're like, what is that? Right. Like there's this keep getting over and over. CRT. Do you get that one all the time? There's CRT. Some update. It has a power button as the icon and it's like
there's some crazy
coming
ones.
Into the Windows Store. And I've gotten this about maybe 12 times in the past week. And I've asked Microsoft, what is that?
This is in the store.
In the store, right? Yeah. On RTM. Right. And I'm like, I wonder what that is. And I've read some people saying it's an update to some C code. I don't know. Microsoft doesn't answer when you ask them, what is it?
Yep.
The other one, .NET Native, keeps updating in my store. And I know what that is, at least. But I'm like, why is that in the Windows store, right? So I'm going to guess this is just the one thing regardless.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, regardless of what that is, I think that they're actually channeling as much through the store as they can for phone.
Yeah.
You know, because updating on phone has been a problem. Obviously, in a home PC, it doesn't matter where the update comes from. You're going to get it. Yeah. There's no carrier blocking you. But when a carrier can update, can block OS updates, but doesn't, it never even thinks of blocking app updates. Just make everything an app update and it just goes out to the device. So, I mean, part of that might be that for that reason, right? They're just trying to bypass any potential blocking maneuvers that may happen in the future.
Yeah. That's my one complaint so far about Windows as a service. I think we need more information about what is being updated.
And it needs to be configurable because some people don't want it. But the people that do, they should have a way to see that. I mean,
so you can't even go to a website somewhere and, you know, deep.
You can't even go to the store, click on the app, and see what the most recent update was. I mean,
that's bad.
iOS and Android both, if you look at it will say these 9 apps updated today or whatever the list is. And you go, you look at them, and every one of them, it says, here's what changed.
Yeah.
You know, this is very basic information. That has to be part of it.
Yeah. And sometimes there is something like I did get a note from somebody that gave me a Microsoft KB article that is listing some but not all of the updates being made to the mail client and itemizing what's in them. But how would you ever know or find that? You know, it's like, there's nothing linking to that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, you know what, it's a little like the New York Times or some other newspaper could write an article. And it's full of inaccuracies. Everything in it is wrong. And they start getting letters and people complain, like, all this stuff in here is wrong. And then over time, they just kind of fix it all. But they never explain that they fixed it. And so someday they'll get a complaint from, so this thing doesn't work and it's wrong. And it's like, no, look, read it again. It's fine. But there's no of understanding that they changed it.
Yeah, that's, you know? And that's considered very bad form, by the way.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And they did hint not that long ago that they were thinking about going public with what is in the updates for IT, because IT really needs to know what's in all these updates are coming to PCs, right? But then people were saying, well, if you do it for IT, can't you do it for other users? I mean, we've seen leaked, I think it was Peter Bright who noted, we've seen leaked documents about what's in these builds. So this information is there, already written
somebody
somewhere.
Wrote it.
Yeah.
It's been written down.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
They're gaslighting you. I was just thinking, what's the term for that? No. We didn't change anything. It's exactly the same. That's gaslighting you.
You're looking for.
Yeah. Stop gaslighting us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the bad part is, like, you know, when we get updates on Windows Phone, everybody's excited, right? It's like, yay, we got an update. I feel like we would be more excited on Windows if we knew what was in them.
Yeah.
Instead of scared, like I am now. Whenever I get an update now, I'm like, oh,
changelog.windows.com. Make it happen.
Does that come from what does that come from? What's kind of reluctance to tell people things.
Is that a
corporate personality?
They whenever you ask them about it, they say, hey, on the phone and on devices like iPads, we don't like itemize every little tweak that we're making and stuff. So, you know, we want people to be used to us just happening.
But, you know, other developers
people love
that.
I love looking at that list
on
an iPad.
Do
you know?
We're not normal. Yeah. I'm more normal than you, but we're not normal.
By the way, I now see what you're talking about, because I am on 547, and I don't know why the store doesn't automatically update all these
apps.
Doesn't
even you can't tap it and see more. Stupid.
And I can't find out anything about it. I can only say, okay. Or not. Yeah. And by the way, why do I want to update the Get Office app? I have Office. So why do I want to update that?
I mean, looking at the list of apps that have updated recently on an iPad, the simplest one, which is Facebook, just says fixed issues to make the app more reliable, which is fine. But some of them have little bulleted lists, you know, change this, change this, change this, you know. You don't have to read it. It's just there. It should be in that list you just showed in the Windows Store.
Yeah.
If you want to go see that stuff, there should be a way to see prior updates, and you should be able to see what everything that changed. There's no reason not to provide this information. It's very frustrating.
It's not the first time we've complained about this.
No.
That's why I'm asking, is this kind of some sort of corporate personality? Because they don't want to tell you anything at all, ever.
Yeah, let me pretend I work for Microsoft. This is how I'd answer this question. Leah, we're improving this thing too fast to write notes. That's rapid release. It's not rapid documentation.
I prefer the gaslighting explanation. No, there's... What are you talking about?
They just keep saying it shouldn't matter. Yep. It's just something that's a service. And when you update services...
That? Yeah.
That's
clearly the what they're trying to get you to feel like, right? Oh, no, just I'll accept it from our overlords.
Yep.
They know what they're doing. We're just peons.
I would hope it's not that patternizing. I mean, like, they're not like our... I mean, I hope they don't see themselves as our corporate overlords. Like, I would like to think what they believe is that this is not important information for enough people, so...
There's no distinction between that and, you don't need to know.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's the same mindset.
Yep.
You don't need to know. That's patronizing. That's just exactly what that is. In fact, the only reason they would say it's not patronizing is because they don't even. That's like
because they don't even see you as an equal. And why should I have to explain?
It's like saying to your dog, telling your dog, "Oh, I'm not being patronizing, but would you mind doing your business now? I don't mean
it's
to be
like
patronizing."
Explaining why to a cat why it can't go in the sink.
Right. You don't have to
just get out of the sink
because
you don't have to have a conversation with it.
Exactly. There's never a question about being patronizing to your pet. You're trying to be nice to Microsoft, and I admire that. And you, of course, a lot of people in Microsoft.
I see your point.
They're great people. Gabe All is a nice guy who, as far as I can tell, is not in the least patronizing. But somewhere, somebody's setting corporate policy, which comes down to, oh, you don't need to know. So we're not going to tell you.
There has to be a labyrinth of legal concerns or something.
And maybe that's
where
it
eventually hits the point in the flow chart where they're like, we can't say anything.
Must be.
And if you go back to the beginning, you're like, but all I'm trying to explain to them is that we added conversation view to the mail app. You know, it doesn't seem like a big deal.
I will tell you, though, that it is the corporate default in business to say as little as possible.
Yes, you want to be caught. And they are an extremely conservative and cautious company.
And you know, I am so transparent, and I try to tell people everything. And Lisa will come running in and saying, stop it. Because a normal business says as little as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in other words, if you put something in the release notes, in some release notes, because those things don't exist, that said we did something, I suppose if it didn't work for someone, this would violate some kind of breach of contract or something.
That's sad that we've got to that point.
It's
got to
be something like that.
Nah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just think in terms of getting people excited about the features and to understand what's there that wasn't there before so you can use the feature, it would be helpful. Mm-hmm. To know what the feature is.
By the way, the system exists in Windows 10 right now. There is a tips system built in. It pops up sometimes.
Oh, right. That's right.
They could populate that with new stuff. Mm-hmm. We notice you're running the mail app. Hey, by the way, here's a list of 5 new things. You might want to check it out.
Yep. Well, don't you think the engineers, the people who design and build this stuff, would like to tell everybody what's going on?
I hope so. Yeah, I would think so.
So it's not the problem is not at that level. The problem is at a higher level where I wouldn't be surprised if it's corporate counsel. I wouldn't be at all surprised. You might have hit the nail on the head on that. But somebody higher up is saying, yeah, let's not talk about it.
It's Brad Smith's fault.
The head of legal.
Same guy is a halftime saying in the chat room who puts on every coffee cup now that McDonald's sells, hot contents inside.
Exactly, that guy.
Although, you know what? By the way, I joke about that all the time, but this is a weird coincidence, but yesterday I got coffee at some little shop somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and I literally, my tongue and roof of mouth is still burned. It was so hot.
See? They didn't have that warning.
And I could not spit it out for whatever reason, and I had to hold it in my mouth and like to suffer. And
sue him, Paul.
Yes. Well, no. So it never occurred to me that I could sue them, but and I won't. Of course, I
next time spill it in your lap, then sue them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was really hot. And I know coffee's hot. I drink coffee every day, but this was really hot.
There's a reason. I know updates can screw up your computer. They do it every day, but this one really screwed up my computer, and I'm suing.
I mean, if you climbed to the top of a swing set and fell off, could you hurt yourself?
Oh. We live in a silly world.
Sure.
Yep. Windows 10 Mobile. I would like to sue somebody over this.
Wow.
Surely we have some good news.
I have, I have a 1520. Love my 1520. Nice phone. I would use it more, except that it doesn't have any of the apps I want on it. And that's not Microsoft's fault.
If it weren't for that one small wrinkle.
But that's not Microsoft's fault. I'm
that
sure
niggling
they would,
detail.
They would love to have every app that I want on there. It's not their fault. It's Google and et cetera's fault. But
I've thought about this a lot over the past week because obviously I was very negative about Windows 10 Mobile. I want to be clear, though. I was kind of negative about the updating process, right? I mean, just the inability of these guys to deliver new builds and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you use the system, it's nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, it's
the
problem is it's elegant.
Yeah. But the problem is, aside from the other things that are on Android and iOS that make them special and unique, you know, and better in many ways, I think ultimately it really does come down to apps because if everything else was equal, and it isn't, unfortunately, when the apps aren't there, that's end game for most people. It just is, you know. Mm. And it's going to be something different for everyone. Obviously, if you're a heavy Google user, you're out, you know. It might be a parking app, a banking app, you know, whatever it is. Something you need all the time. Something that's important. And I think, like you said, it's not Microsoft's fault, but I don't know what they do about that. I don't know how they fix that.
Mm. No, I don't think you can. What comes of being a little late to the game, and I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how you do that. But
yeah, it kind of snowballed.
Yeah. So I did. I am on the mistake fast track ring on Windows Mobile, mm-hmm. and really, here's how bad it got. I had the new updates queued up, but it won't let me download them because my Wi-Fi is not working. My Wi-Fi is not working because I did the update. Yep. So I'm sitting here. I can't fix it because I can't download mm-hmm. anything, and I can't get my Wi-Fi to work. So
it's
I erased.
Perfect storm.
It's a perfect storm. I did erase the phone, and it reverts to the last version you downloaded to, not the factory version, right? Because that's I got back to in the
oh right
still
yeah,
in the beta.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. You can go back to the factory version if you want to, though.
I tried the there's a button up down mash thing.
But no. You have to
plug it into a computer. Yeah. So I didn't do that. I just did the button up down mesh. And but now the Wi-Fi works. But now I'm thinking, do I really want to update? Should I? Is there a new update?
Well, so this is what there is, but it was the cause of my diatribe last week, which is
don't do
multiple
it.
Installs. Several hours worth of updating.
Okay, I'm just gonna. I just
it would actually be quicker if you don't, especially if you don't use the phone a lot. You don't really care. Reset it back to 8.1 and then fast ring it from there, and you'll go right to the new build. That will actually take less time.
Should have done that. So instead, it's just in a drawer.
Sorry,
because I don't use. You're right. I don't use that much.
Another
a lot of,
satisfied Windows Phone customer.
It's in a drawer. I mean, I have too many phones as it is, so it's not like it's a It's not a knock on Microsoft, but there's a new iPhone coming in a couple of days. You know, I got about
three. Is there?
Yeah, I heard that. Did you hear that? Might be a rumor.
A lot of news about that. That's interesting.
Might be a rumor. Come on, you're excited. Admit it, Paul.
I will say that I will be visiting an Apple store on Friday.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Not at 8 o'clock in the morning.
No.
Are you getting rose gold?
I did.
Oh, I wish.
I got pink. I'm getting a top of the line because I realized, I don't know, maybe this is the wrong epiphany. Certainly it was an expensive epiphany.
Yeah, yeah.
That my smartphone, whatever brand I'm carrying at the moment, is the computer I use more than any other.
Yep.
It's the computer I use for so many things that it should be a beast. Why stint? Why save a couple $100 on something that is like the computer in my life?
That's true.
So I said, well, I'm going to max it out. I'm just going to get because
are you going to buy it outright or how are you going to buy it?
I bought it outright, but that's I'm not typical. If I were a normal consumer, I would do the. It turns out Apple's monthly plan is comparable with all the other carriers. Gives you a new phone every year. For somebody like me who wants a new phone every year, that it's probably the most sensible plan. It's certainly the most economical. But because I'm buying it from the company buys it, it's I don't know.
Yeah. Sure.
It's a tax dodge or something. I don't know.
I don't think that's the technical term for it.
Lisa's going to be running out any second.
It's some sort of tax dodge.
That's not the word.
No, don't use that word.
I'm surprised they don't have like a mute microphone thing like in your office.
She needs a big red button in the office. Yeah. Go back 10 seconds again. And delete. No, it's not a tax dodge.
It's a write-off.
And we'll be back.
It's a write-off either way, but it's better if you bought it. I mean, I can depreciate it over the year. And anyway, I don't know what. You know what? I'm acting like I know what anything is, and I don't. I just wanted the beast of a phone, and I bought it.
Yep.
Period. You know, the real reason is because I'm not going to keep it probably for a year and get the next one. And I'm going to give it like I did with this last one. I gave it to my son. It's not going to – it's going to – it'll work. Employees get them. It works its way out into the thing. So I want to own it outright. Yeah. But boy, it's over $1,000.
Yes. Yeah, they're expensive.
I'm curious what these new Lumias that are coming for us later this year are going to cost. Because there have been some rumors that they're going to be pretty pricey.
You're kidding.
Too, right?
Microsoft can't figure out what the market for Windows Phone is. Is it cheap?
I'm not sure to believe that rumor, though. That rumor included a bunch of other stuff they were throwing in with the phone.
Yeah,
it was in Europe, which tends to be more expensive.
That's true because of the currency.
I'm not saying that this thing's going to come in at $350 like it should, but I don't. They know how tenuous the grasp of the market is right now, and that pricing these things equivalent to an iPhone is not going to work. They know this. Yeah. And so I guess we'll see what happens. But I cannot imagine that that is what happens.
Let's hope.
We'll see.
Anyway, I forgot what we were talking about.
Windows 10 Mobile. The most wonderful mobile of all.
Nadella at Dreamforce holds up a smartphone to demonstrate Outlook. What smartphone does he hold up?
Well, it wasn't his phone.
He said that. He was quick to say that. He should have said
I thought the way he handled the iPhone thing was funny.
No, it was hysterical. It would have been more funny if he said, you know, it's not my phone. I found it in the drawer after Ballmer left.
Yeah, nice.
That would have been funny.
Oh. Right. That
would have been good. I don't think he has that kind of sense.
He holds up an iPhone to demonstrate Outlook.
Which, by the way, he called an iPhone Pro because it has all Microsoft software on it.
Oh, I like that. That's a good slice.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. That's a little
zing. But he also did another. I mean, they really are hinging their hopes, short-term hopes on this, on a Continuum, right? Which is where you connect the phone to a dock or via Bluetooth to keyboard, mouse, and then, of course, to a display. Display wouldn't be Bluetooth, but wireless display, certainly you can do. And it's a kind of a unique system because when you're on the phone, you're on the phone. But if you access it from the external display, a little start menu comes up that looks like the phone start screen, and apps run full screen on the big screen. And so a lot of those apps look like the PC apps because they're basically the same apps. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting hybrid computer solution that really pushing for Windows 10 Mobile. So we'll see if it takes off. But I think this is a nice and an obvious differentiator that Microsoft has. So hopefully they make a run with it and it works.
Do you want to do the quick follow-up to the Windows 10 Mobile eulogy? People thought Paul was depressed last week.
I was depressed last week. No, I mean, I kind of already alluded to it. I don't want to spend time on this.
I can give Windows 10 nice Mobile rumor.
What's a rumor?
Oh,
cheer us up. Cheer us up.
Yeah, I'm going to cheer you up, maybe. So we've said a few times here on Windows Weekly that the rumor was Microsoft might deliver CityMan and TalkMan, those two new phones, with non-RTM builds of Windows 10 Mobile. And then I can't remember where I saw this, but somebody reported, one of the other Microsoft watching sites said they had heard Microsoft was going to go way back and put Windows 10 Mobile build 102.4.0 on the phones that they shipped, which is a pretty old and hopefully more stable build. But I'm now hearing there's a different plan. That Microsoft may, in fact, wait till November to actually deliver these phones, but that they might be running Threshold 2, the equivalent of Threshold 2 on Windows 10 Mobile when they ship, so that they'll have the most up-to-date set of features. Will it be RTM? I'm not 100% sure, but at least they're not going to be kind of holding back and waiting and using an old build on these new phones and then expecting people to update. So I think the phones are going to come out in November, and I think they're going to be timed to come out around the same time that Microsoft comes out with Threshold 2. So I think that's pretty good news. Better than getting an old build just because the latest build wasn't done. You feeling good, Paul? Feeling good about that?
Yeah, I feel good. Let's talk Xbox. Let's cheer him up. Let's talk Xbox. In fact, we're going to get to see how Windows 10 will look on Xbox soon, right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's funny because when Microsoft generally, the Windows guys talk about Xbox, they talk about Windows 10. Xbox is a Windows 10 system. We're going to put Windows 10 on Xbox, you know. When the Xbox guys talk about it, they don't ever really mention that. It's sort of to them, it's like underpinnings It is something that will contribute to the overall speed improvements that we're going to see in the November system update. And they don't really talk about Windows 10 stuff. It's really not about Windows 10. And so one of the things that happened, it was Monday or Tuesday, was that they released to preview members, to some of them anyway. I still don't see this. I'm supposedly on the preview, but I don't see it. The first peek at what will be the November system update, the one that will bring those Windows 10 underpinnings to Xbox. And of course, they're not calling it, you know, Windows 10 for Xbox. They're calling it the new Xbox One experience because they've never used that name before. And of course, it's always going to be new, I guess. I don't know why they keep doing that. But there are major changes in this release. I mean, the entire UI is changing, similar to what they did a couple of times in Xbox 360. Remember, they went from like the Blades UI to that kind of horizontally scrolling UI. This one is a big change, and it's pretty. It looks really nice. I think it makes a lot of sense. Hopefully, what are they calling it? I forgot the name of it. The quick access menu that's on the side now, instead of being a pop-up, comes up more quickly, because one of the worst things you can do when you're playing any game on an Xbox is hit the Xbox button by mistake and then have the game just come to a screeching halt because UI has popped up in your face and you have to deal with it slowly because it's Xbox, really slow, you know, to get it out of the way and then get back into the game. So this thing is going to be a lot faster, supposedly. I don't have it yet. But it has gone out this week, or it is going out this week. So if you're on the preview program, you should look for that.
I'll be getting it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks great. Can't I mean, wait. It's pretty. It really pretty, looks pretty. Nice.
You also get more cloud storage.
Yeah, that's actually on the 360, not the Xbox
the
One. And that's kind of. Yeah. So this year they've started doing these regular updates on the 360 like they're doing for Xbox One, and they've started documenting, you know, like the Windows team doesn't do. And I had to sort of think about this a little bit. I'd kind of forgotten about this and when it happened, but when the if you think back to the Xbox 360 when it first launched, obviously it came with a hard drive if you got that version. But if you didn't get that version, it came with this thing called a memory unit. And it was kind of like a little plastic card, obviously with a chip in it that you plugged into it or whatever, and it had a very small amount of storage. And then as the system improved over time, I think they had a version that had like a little bit of memory built into it, so you didn't need the memory card anymore. And then they added this notion of cloud save games. And so instead of using storage on the device, you could use storage up in the cloud, or you could use a combination of it. And let's see if I get this right. I think when it first came out, it was 512 megabytes of free cloud storage for game saves. So why would you use this? Same reason you use a memory unit, except it's in the cloud. You can bring that memory unit or just go to someone else's console, sign in, and gain access to your saved games. You could play your games on another console. And I think the reason they upped the limit on it is because people are going to be upgrading to Xbox One, and they're going to be able to access their Xbox 360 games on the Xbox One. So if you save your games to the cloud, you'll be able to access them from the Xbox One. And so I think they're giving you more space, you know, for that reason. So that was the big update. That's some nice. Other stuff, activity feed, like they have an Xbox One and some other things. But, you know, the Groove stuff was updated, actually, allegedly. I've never gotten that to work. And some other things. But, yeah, it's kind of nice that they're still updating the 360 again. Even though the Xbox One has been around for, is it 2 years now? Is that right? Two years?
Yeah. Can you believe that? 2013?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oof. That's crazy.
Oof-da.
Yeah.
Well, there are finally some games for it, so there's that.
Yay.
I'm excited about, there's a new one coming. I can't wait to see, but I can't.
A new.
Well, I really want to see the Cuphead, whatever that is.
Cuphead.
What is it? Oh, you mean the games.
Yeah. Cuphead, I'm excited, but that's not till next year. What? There's something else I wanted to. I was excited about. No, mm-hmm. I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight, which is pretty good. That's pretty fun.
I've been trying to. I just rifle through different Call of Duty games, but I've been trying to play the latest one because that's the one I've played the least, and I really just don't like it. It's very strange for me.
You don't like it?
No.
That's not Ghosts. What is that one?
No, it's Advanced Warfare.
Oh, that's right.
This is the one where they added the vertical jetpack baloney, right. And it kind of ruins it for me.
Competing with Titanfall and Destiny.
Yeah, if I wanted to play Titanfall and Destiny, I would play Titanfall and Destiny.
Yeah. Destiny's pretty good. I like Destiny.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Just, you know. Yeah, the version I play that's called Call of Duty is pretty good, but I just don't understand why it has to be like that.
I don't need no jetpack. You still wearing your Microsoft band?
Yeah, it's charging right now, actually. But yeah.
I see an article from Brad Sams. Is Brad Sams writing for Therat now?
Yeah, sometimes. He,
wasn't he at Neo? Where was he? Neowin?
Neowin, yeah. Yeah. He was hired by my parent company, and he works over at Petri as well.
Nice.
He does some other stuff that has nothing to do with writing.
Typical freelancer. He has to do a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
So this is the new 2.0.
Allegedly, right? So this is a render. You know, if you said to someone who had access to the technology needed to make such a render that the next version of Microsoft Band would look a lot like the current version, except that the display would be curved onto the surface of it instead of a big bricky-looking thing.
That makes sense.
Almost anyone could come up with this design right here.
Right.
So it probably does look a lot like this. I've not seen it, in person, but I think it's reasonable to say this is what it's going to look like. But it's also a little too perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't know what to say. I mean,
you can't tell with these whether they're just made up or really leaked.
If that is it, I will say
there's going to be one.
There's a band too, right? There is going to be a band too. We're almost 100% sure.
Oh, no, it exists. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
But we just don't know if that's it.
Right. It's going to look something like that. If that's not it, it will look very much like that.
Yep. Yeah. And we, as we've said a few times, and we should say again, we don't think it's going to be running Windows 10 inside. Not any kind of a flavor of Windows 10. Probably
would
just
be
firmware.
A lot to try to fit into a.
Yeah. Although you could, in theory, think about the IoT version of Windows 10.
It seems like it could run in there.
But I keep hearing no, not yet, not till a future version. And so. This actually could be interesting on October 6th. How do they talk about Band 2 when they're talking about this as a Windows 10 device, right? I mean, it'll fit in with the Windows 10 ecosystem, work with other Windows 10 devices. They'll probably talk about web tiles and how those work across the ecosystem for the Band. But I don't think they're going to say the Band is a Windows 10 device. Or if they do, I'm curious why.
Physically speaking, the Band needs to be updated. From a data collecting standpoint, I don't think really needs too much. I think the biggest issue with the Band, though, is the software and the service in that it doesn't really do anything proactively, right? It collects all this information, but the onus is on you to look at that information and make your own determination about what you should or shouldn't be doing health or fitness wise, you know? Yeah. They talked a lot a year ago about all these kind of magical things it would someday do, and it doesn't do any of those things. You know, the ability to, the big scenario that I recall off the top of my head was because we look at your calendar and we look at your health data, we notice that you have a meeting every Monday at 9 o'clock and you get really stressed because your heart rate goes up. Here are like three things you might want to try at 8:45 to calm down, meditation, whatever. That sounds wonderful. It sounds like a futuristic Isaac Asimov kind of device. It doesn't do that. So, it's collecting enough data to do it. And this thing is smart enough to do it. I mean, it just doesn't do it. So,
chat room's asking about the OEMs. Have they picked up any OEMs? Because wasn't that the plan?
Right.
For the Band.
No, and maybe we'll hear something about that. Because this was this whole thing was designed to be an open platform.
Right.
The Band should work with any other software. If you wanted to use, Fitbit or something for some reason. There's no reason that can't work. It just requires both parties to work together. And on the flip side, anyone else should be able to walk in the door with a device and say, let's make this work with Microsoft Health. And to this day, I don't know of any third-party devices that do directly with, that you could mix and match, with that Microsoft Health software.
Yeah.
That is the plan. That was the point.
I just got the Misfit. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's another fitness tracker, but this one's kind of cool. I got the Shine. It's just first of all, it doesn't recharge.
It looks like a macaroon.
It does, doesn't it? Like a nice aluminum.
I've seen that recently.
Yeah, you can wear it in a band. It comes with a rubber band, but it's not, it doesn't have any real, the only interface, this is the Shine. So it actually is telling me what time it is if I could figure out what those lights mean. But it also shows you how you've done. But mostly it's a fitness and sleep tracker that you can wear anywhere. And it comes with this This is, I think, a good way to do it. It has this magnetic clasp that'll pretty much stick to anything. And because it doesn't have to be on your waistband to be accurate, it can be, they have a pendant you can put it in. You can put it on your wrist. They could, you can put it, you know, I have it clipped kind of to my waistband. It's kind of cool. And because it has a lithium battery in it, you know, one of those quarter batteries in it, it goes for, they said, about a year without, in between batteries.
That's incredible. So, I mean, I was gonna, that's what I was going to ask about. It seems like the point of not having interactive display is to say, it lasts forever.
But all it has is these little LEDs. But see, I'm halfway toward my fitness goal because they lit up halfway.
Oh,
around.
You can see that. Oh,
that's and that's cool. What time it is. Whatever that means, 12:36.
25 of 12.
Yeah, yeah, roughly. It's rough, you know, but that's okay. And this is, oh, by the way, under 50 meters underwater. So they have a, they, swimmers can wear it because it can
count laps. Leo, if I'm 50 meters underwater, I've died. So, but you
it,
know, like.
The clip is not really ingenious because it's a magnet. So it literally, you know, it goes securely anywhere. Cool.
And can't like you, that. Don't you tell it what sport you're doing?
Yes.
And then it calibrates the steps and all that.
And
right?
You do that with a smartphone. And by the way, Windows Phone app for it.
Oh, nice.
As well as Android and iOS. So,
oh,
yeah.
By the way, back to Health Vault. Health Vault works with Fitbit, Richard.
Nice.
I'm, I meant like Microsoft Health, the app that you use.
The health service. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They need to all work with everything, don't they?
Yeah,
that
they
would
do.
Just solve the whole problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Microsoft's range of health apps and services is a little confusing because they all have the same.
The word health.
Or similar names.
Yeah. Well, and Apple has HealthKit, and it's all, let's take a break, and back of the book, just around the corner. By the way, that's the Misfit, M-I-S-F-I-T. I know I said it fast. People want to know what that is.
Misfit.
Misfit. And it's like $50 on Amazon. Actually, there's a $30 version without the LEDs. So it's cheap, which is good, because I'm probably going to lose it like in a day or two. I left. Yep. I've gone through three or four Fitbits. There's one at the San Diego Zoo. I lost there. There's one at a toilet somewhere, and there's one in Paris. So I just shed those things because they. But this is a better clipper.
Like a snake.
Like a snake. Plus, you can put this in your bra, so it's not gonna. I'm not gonna lose it. The show today brought to you. No comment. Brought to you by Linda. Com. We love Linda. I know Linda. Linda Wyman used to be a regular on the old screensavers. She was very famous for her incredible books on web design and web technologies. She parlayed that into one of the best sites ever for learning how to do a whole lot of things. Just check it out at lynda.com, and you'll see more than 3,000 classes. Actually, you can... The number of video tutorials is kind of astounding. 3,888. That's whole courses. That's how many subjects, and they're all up to date. They you know, the photography, web, design, developer, business. I bet you, let's just see, Microsoft, I bet you there's something on the new Office. I wouldn't be surprised. There's quite a few courses. Securing Microsoft Office files, Microsoft Office integration, Office for tablets, understanding Office fonts, creating accessible Office documents, creating XML, exporting for Office. There's quite a... Oh, here it is. Wait a minute, where's 2016? I want to see... Is that the new version, 2016? There's some old stuff. Here's Office 2007 Essential Training, if you haven't upgraded. I love lynda.com. These are all just Microsoft Office courses. Hundreds! And I'm sure they have one for the new Microsoft Office that just came out, because they work closely with Microsoft and other publishers to do the classes, to start shooting them before it comes out. Excel 2016 Essential Training, Word 2016 Essential Training, Access 2016 Essential Training. They've got Outlook, OneNote, PowerPoint, an overview course that covers the new features in Office 2016 and Office 365. You'll like this, Mary Jo Foley. Sway Essential Training.
Nice.
Yeah. I got to see that. That's great. That is so awesome. So here's the deal. You pay one. Actually, that's not the only course. Look at all the Sway courses. Holy cow. Whoa. Well, that's the point. With 3,888 courses, there's going to be something for everybody. One of the great things about this, too, is with the written transcripts, you can go right into
the course, read the transcript, and get some idea of, you know, you can jump right to a part if you want. I'm a completist. I'm beginning to end. Jeannie Corder teaches this. This is the other thing. These are people who are experts in the field. They're passionate. They teach as well as they do. And I think it's just a great way to learn. And by the way, much better than some home-produced video from YouTube. Lynda.com, you get the membership, you get unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics for one flat rate. And for the next 10 days, you can access it for free if you go to lynda.com/windows. That's enough time to go through several courses or to taste hundreds of courses. See what Lynda will do for you. Lynda, LYNDA.com/windows, a free 10-day trial awaits. This is her course on using Sway. I mean, this goes deep. But you can, you know, that's the nice thing about it. I am just such a fan. If you need to learn, there's soft business skills too. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff here, like negotiating, getting a raise. Here's Office 2016 Explained. You need, explain it. Explain to me. David Rivers teaches that course. I'll tell you what, lynda.com. For your business too, by the way, we have a Lynda subscription that we use with our employees, because we want them to have access to this. You might want that for your business, too. Lynda, LYNDA.com/windows. 10 days free right now at lynda.com. We're talking Windows, Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, the back of the book. That means it's time for a tip of the week from Pauly here. Pauly Walnuts. So
my tip is about how to choose whether or not to get Sonos, because as we discussed last week, Sonos added support for Microsoft Groove last week. Yay. And Sonos is something I've often thought about getting, and I have a few friends that have it, and you know, it's a smart connected speaker system if you're not familiar with it, and it's people who have it love it and evangelize it, kind of like TiVo owners or whatever.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, so I wasn't really all that familiar with it, and so I bought one of the entry-level speakers of Play One and have been using it. And
how much
it sounds
that?
Good.
How much is, that's not expensive, right?
A couple $100.
Okay,
like $200.
It's small.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that big. It's you know, 6 inches. Quality device. It's really well made. I can see why Apple fans in particular kind of gravitate toward this thing. It's got like an Apple kind of vibe to it. It comes in black or white, you know. And the thing is, you know, it's funny, since getting it, I get a lot of questions from people, including people I know, you know, not just readers, but, you know, people who I know personally, kind of wondering about it. Would this be good for this? Would it be good for that? And so forth. And I honestly, the kind of key, the couple of key takeaways is, one is that this thing is not, it's not a speaker. You know, you can't connect it to your computer and play system sounds through it, or, you know, play video games through your Xbox through it. It's a Wi-Fi connected speaker system. It's very sophisticated, but it also doesn't have like dumb speaker capabilities. You can only connect to it through networking, either wirelessly or wired, and only through the Sonos controller software. So it's not a standalone speaker. And if you're used to whatever music service you use, if it's Groove, which I've been using, or if it's Spotify or whatever you might use, the other kind of side effect of this is you don't use that software to play your music through Sonos. You have to use Sonos' software. And it works fine, I mean, for whatever it's worth. It's much nicer on a mobile device than it is on the PC. But it's also a little confusing because it's different. And it has slightly different capabilities with regards to Groove than Groove does. You know, so Groove has this notion of radio stations, which are really just kind of internet playlists that are based on a favorite artist. They're actually kind of dumb in the scheme of these kinds of playlists. They're not very good. But the Groove software supports a different kind of internet radio station through Groove, which is based on genres. I don't know how they're doing that, because you actually can't do it in Groove, but they are literally doing it through Groove. It's very interesting to me. The other issue is that if you have music on your computer or music on an internet share, or, I'm sorry, a network share somewhere in your home network, you can absolutely access that through Groove. You have to kind of go in and out of the services, but you can create Sonos playlists that include music from all of the services you've subscribed to, that include your own music. You can kind of do that stuff, but it has to happen through through the Sonos software. So I guess the end result here, the key thing to kind of take away from this is that whether or not you get this will depend heavily on what you intend to do with it. It basically is just a way to play music throughout your home, because you can put speakers in every room in your house. You can configure them as groups. You can configure some of the smaller ones as stereo pairs. You can choose arbitrarily which, you know, speakers are playing the music at any time. It's very powerful in that sense. But if you're just, you know, in my case, I kind of would like something that kind of works in here for everything, for the Xbox, for the PC, you know, for whatever. And Sonos isn't that. It's really a home-connected smart speaker system for music. And it's great at that. I mean, it really is great at it. But it's not a general-purpose speaker. You know, I was talking to Mary Jo last week about how you could buy any Bluetooth-connected speaker. You could plug a 3.5-millimeter headset jack into it, and it would work fine. You could connect to it with Bluetooth. You could connect to it, you know, NFC to Bluetooth, and it would work fine. This thing, you have to use the Sonos software. So it's not a general-purpose speaker, I guess, would be the way I would put it. But I do like it. And if you're really into music, that's definitely something to look
into. We got one or more in every room of the house.
Do you really? That's great. So, well, you have different zones and groups and whatnot.
So if you want stereo, you need two. And then you can make them a stereo pair left and right. So if
you can do surround sound on a TV.
So they have a Sonos sound bar. I have that and the subwoofer. And then the two little ones, the play ones, is the surrounds in one of the rooms. That's a good way to do surround, very easy way to do surround.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one in the laundry room.
Guest bath. I would put one in the bathroom. I listen to podcasts and stuff when I shave and everything. And
I do. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. The only thing missing, and I wish they would do this, as you probably know, because you have an Echo. Do you have an Amazon Echo?
No.
Oh, you haven't been sucked in by that yet, huh? Mm-hmm. It on the face of it, it seems like, well, it's just another talking thing. I don't need it. I've got a phone. There's something about it, and I wish that they would incorporate Echo, because Echo's speaker is okay. It's just okay.
Right. In other words, tell Echo to play music and have it go through Sonos.
Yeah, or have put into the Sonos, build a Sonos with Echo built in. This will happen, by the way. I'm sure of it. And then you really got something, because now you have a house that's always listening, can do
and
all
you can
sorts of
control with your voice. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's kind of
the people I know who have this in their homes. They don't have, I guess, quite as extensive a system as you, but it is multi-room stuff. They do stereo pairs.
It grows over years, see? So I've been buying these. You know, I don't buy it all at once. It's prohibitively expensive. But every year I might buy another room. And
right.
Pretty soon you got
I could see definitely doing at least one more of them just to have a stereo experience. Yeah. Although just by itself, it's, you know, it works pretty well.
I have Sonos everywhere in the studio too, do you know?
That's funny.
John listens. He'll, before anybody gets in, he's got the whole studio rocking.
Right.
It's great. It's just great.
Yeah. Well, this is a big deal for us on the Microsoft side because we've never been part of it.
Huge.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's huge.
I mean, we could do it from Windows. We could do our own collections and all that stuff. But to have it actually support the service. And so if you have stuff in OneDrive, it works through this. If you have stuff through a Zune Music Pass, Groove Music Pass subscription, it works through this. That's cool. I mean, it's like, welcome to the big leagues kind of thing. I think when you show up on Sonos, like, you're the real deal.
Music isn't on Sonos yet.
So I know.
And if you're a Sonos user, this is a deal breaker. You won't use a music service that isn't on the Sonos. It's just not going to happen.
Mm. Right.
Software pick of the week.
So is OneNote, and we kind of glossed over this earlier, but OneNote is available for free, right? And it's free on everything. It's full function on everything. If you have a Windows desktop, you don't want to pay for Office, or you have some older version of Office, you can get the newest version of OneNote for free right now. So OneNote.com, you can get that. I think this happened after our show last week, but last week they updated OneNote on iOS to support iOS 9, which has unique multitasking and other features, and also iPad Pro, which supports some of the advanced multitasking features in iOS 9, as well as the Apple Pencil, you know, for drawing and so forth. And so they have that in OneNote. And actually, I don't follow iOS as closely as I do Windows, but I noticed by mistake, which I think is how most people will discover this, that if you even have like an iPad Mini 2, like I do, you can actually swipe over from the right edge of the screen, and that I forget what they call it, but the little multitasking strip comes up, and you can select an app, and then the app runs in that little strip, and that even works on like a low end iPad. So I thought the multitasking was all iPad Air 2 or higher, but actually that works on a really old iPad too. So you could, and OneNote supports that. So if you want to have a web page full screen and then run a strip of OneNote on the side, you can do that and take notes as you're looking at a web page. Pretty cool and free.
Mary Jo Foley, now it's your turn for your enterprise pick of the week.
My pick is something called the Azure Cloud Switch. And many of you may have heard of this by reading various headlines around the web over the past few days. It said, Microsoft builds its own Linux distribution. Do you guys see that?
Yeah, it was like, what?
I know.
Well, what?
It got a little blown out of proportion.
Well, is it really? It's like a Linux distro or?
No, it's not a real Linux distro. Oh. No. If you may recall, Microsoft joined the Open Compute Project back in 2014.
Right.
That's the foundation that Facebook created that said, let's all publish open hardware designs that are used to make data centers and data center equipment cheaper. So Microsoft was one of the partners there. They contributed a cloud server specification to the Open Compute Project. And now they've built this thing that is a switch, data center switch operating system. Why everybody was so crazy about this was it's built on top of Linux. So they used Linux and they built all these layers on top of it for data center switches. We don't know if they're ever going to actually offer this to their customer base, but I would not be too surprised to see this at some point. For now, though, this Azure Compute Switch is something that's being used internally at Microsoft and is going to be contributed to the Open Compute Project. So if you saw all those headlines saying Microsoft's now building Microsoft Linux or a Linux distro, not exactly the case. But still, they did build an operating system on Linux called the Azure Compute Switch, and that's what my pick is this week.
And I expected nothing less. Your codename pick of the week.
Codename pick is related to the Microsoft Band that we were talking about earlier. So those renders that we saw pictures of, that came originally, I think, from Microsoft Insider .es. Is that Estonia?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it's Spain. Sorry.
Wait, no, it's Spain.
Oh, sorry. Spain. I was like looking at it going, no, the site is in Spanish.
Yeah.
They were the first ones, I believe, to post those renders. And when they did, they also posted in the body of their text something that said the code name for this device is Envoy, Envoy. Oh. So that is the codename pick. We don't know if those renders are real, and so obviously don't know if this is the real codename, but I'm kind of thinking it might be.
It's a good name for a band, a mobile device.
Yeah, it's just a codename, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, Paul, do you know, what was there a codename for Band 1? I don't remember if there was. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
You know, it'd actually be a good brand name.
I know, it would be kind of
Microsoft
a cool brand name.
Band does not send the heart.
You know what else is a good brand name?
What?
The Beatles.
I think Microsoft Envoy sounds good.
I know, because, you know, when you hear band, you're like, oh, do they mean?
Yeah, what do they mean?
Like fitness band? Yeah,
well, you know what makes me think of is a house arrest band, but maybe that's just me. I don't know. So Envoy. Yeah. It could be more
Envoy
than a code
name. Envoy is supposedly
name.
The code name for the band 2.0.
Now, let's not that we ever need a reason, but let's drink some beer.
Yeah.
Actually, not a beer this year.
This week, my pick is a cider
because
a couple of people have requested ciders now that we're into fall.
Love
and
ciders.
Also, gluten-free. Many ciders are gluten-free, including this week's pick, which is from Citizen Cider. They're a cider vendor in Burlington, Vermont, and I just had this last night, in fact. It's called Unified Press. It's a really light, really dry.
Yeah, I don't like ciders that are too sweet.
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sweet at all. Not sweet. I was thinking, wow, this would be great with Chinese food or anything that is kind of spicy because it's a nice basic palate. You can really taste the apples, but not in a sweet way, just in a very nice, understated, dry way. So if you ever see anything from them, they actually do a cider also that is hopped with it's like a hopped cider, so it tastes more like beer, but it's still a cider. And they have a number of other varieties. Come in cans and bottles. I had a can. It was delicious. Highly recommend it. Citizen Ciders Unified Press.
Let me ask you a question.
You like cider, Leo. Right?
That's what I had at Rattle and Hum.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Do ciders, can you check in ciders with Untappd?
Yep. Yes, you can, and
okay,
I did.
Then I will consider drinking.
I just read, and I don't know if it's apocryphal or true, the story of cider in the United States when Dutch and others got here, and of course they wanted to make beer. They found barley hard and hops hard to grow in the United States climate, but of course they had plenty of apples and other fruits, and they started pressing them and fermenting them in lieu of beer. And so cider is really a you know, has a great tradition in America. Of course, ciders are very famous in France and the Brittany Spain. Region and Spain, yep. too. Yeah, anywhere there's a lot of apples. Brittany's famous for its apples. And I love Breton ciders.
You know what else Britain's famous for?
What?
The Beatles.
No, that's Britain, not Breton. The French Britain.
He's been listening to the Beatles on his song.
Are you into the Beatles? Oh, but you can't listen to the Beatles on Groove.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Ooh. Right in the back. I ripped them from CD, copied them to OneDrive, and I can't listen to them in Groove.
That's what I did. Actually, you know, it's funny. Today, this morning, I was trying to listen to 1989. I wanted to hear Taylor Swift. I just was in that kind of mood.
Oh, and you're like, why isn't this on Spotify?
And I went to Spotify, and they say, sorry, Taylor's won't allow us to play this. It's like, okay, well, then I'm not going to listen to your music, Taylor. If that's how you feel. All right. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Before we go, something has happened. Something wonderful.
It's full of stars.
Microsoft just announced this on the Windows blog. They said they have a new partnership with Baidu.
Oh, that's China. The Chinese search engine.
Yes. And they said they're delivering a custom experience for customers in China.
Are they going to call it Bing Baidu?
It just says Baidu.com will become the default homepage and search for the Microsoft Edge browser in Windows 10. So they're doing like a custom distribution of Windows 10. They're calling it Windows 10 Express, it looks like.
Interesting.
To try to get even more users in China to go to Windows 10. Baidu also will deliver universal Windows apps for search, video, cloud, and maps for Windows 10. So that's good. More potential Windows 10 users in China.
Baidu, only Windows Bing, could have gone to China.
Baidu Bing, Baidu, Baidu Bum.
Now, this stuff is all over the place. There are literally three different... I don't even know how to find this stuff. This is so strange.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we
well,
go. Just
breaking
throw that
news.
In there for the end of the show. Nice. Breaking news.
The back of the book sometimes has the big story. I don't know how you feel about this. I'm going to pass this along. This comes from the chat room. It's a link. You might get an idea. Of
is it
what...
about Taylor Swift?
No. but I think if you listen to the URL, you'll kind of get an idea. YouBetrayedUs.org.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yikes! This comes from Fight for the Future. I don't know if you know or anybody is aware of the Congress attempt to pass a Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act, or CISA. CISA, that would, it's billed as a cybersecurity bill, but really what it would do is eliminate liability for companies that share private user data with the government warrantlessly, as long as it's being used for cybersecurity, and that includes FBI, NSA, IRS, and local law enforcement. Gives blanket immunity from civil and criminal laws like fraud, money laundering, or illegal wiretapping. And companies that play along can get otherwise classified intelligence data from the government, including private information about their competitors. So this is what's happened. A number of tech companies have begun to publicly lobby Congress to pass CISA. Of course, it's probably in their interest. They don't want to get sued.
Sure.
Those companies include
Apple. But they're
willing
to throw customers under the bus.
Right. Apple, Microsoft, Adobe, Oracle, Symantec, IBM, Autodesk, and Salesforce have all made public lobbying efforts to pass CISA, which is not in our interest. So I just want to pass along that website. If you have strong feelings about this,
And I gather the website does because its URL is youbetrayedus.org. You should also write your member of Congress, because while companies can come to Congress with little bags of money and lobbying money, what rules Congress ultimately is not the money but the vote. And if you are, your member of Congress knows that his or her constituency is dead set against CISA, that's a very important thing. So please go to the website, youbetrayedus.org, sign their, or fill in the email information, and they will actually email your member of Congress and those companies for you. And I think this is an important subject, and I just thought I'd pass that along. Thank you, Paul Thurrott. Thurrott.com is the place to go for the best coverage. O-com.
The Irish version said it. Thurrott.com. McCom.
Oh, Thurrott. It's like the great Irish constellation Orion. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. That's the place to find his writing. It's great. And, of course, every week, every Wednesday here, every week at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You'll find Mary Jo Foley day in, day out, day and night, posting regularly to allaboutmicrosoft.com. Lots of scoops there. I hope you will read their sites, but also come to visit us every Wednesday. If you can't, you can get on-demand audio and video available after the fact. twit.tv/ww. A little too much cider there.
I think you swallowed that misfit thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, I don't have to wear it anymore.
Six, good. You're good for at least 6 months.
If you subscribe in the podcast app on your favorite platform, that would even be better. That way you'd get it each and every week. You don't want to miss a minute of Windows Weekly. We'll see you next time right here. Bye-bye.